We'll get started. I've chosen hymn number 22 in the appendix, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the author before we sing it. It was a man named Adelbert Percival Cecil, who was born in a palace in England, maybe 150 years ago. And he wrote this hymn we're going to sing. And he also wrote what was run recently in the Christian Treasury entitled The Advocate or The Accuser. Whose side do you take? Now this goes, his life, what he did corresponds a great deal to the teaching we've had in these meetings, in particular the last one. He was born there in the royalty, and in his youth, he was saved by the gospel of God. And he was brought into the truth of God, and he lived in it. And he wrote this article, The Advocate or the Accuser, and many other things. I have a stack of typewritten ministry of his, an inch or inch and a half thick. He wrote on many books. I don't know his age when he died, but he was relatively young. But if anybody had anything to give up for Christ, it was Lord Cecil. He very willingly and delightfully chose to preach Christ. He ended his life in the lake region of Ontario with that occupation. But what did his family think of him for doing that? Not very many years ago, our brother Albert Hayhoe, whom most here will remember, went to that palace to look up the heritage of the Cecil family. He went and inquired about it, and they had their records. This man, this great-grandpa, this grandpa, this father, and so on. But he said, where's A.P. Cecil? They had delisted him. He lost out in the line that they record there in that palace, but he's there in glory. Oh, think of what he gained. Now, this meeting is to young people. Lord Cecil was quite young when he was saved and gathered, and he went on and finished his course rather still a young man. Did he choose right? Yes, he chose right. Will some brother lead in singing number 22, please? Would you turn for the first scripture to Exodus chapter 3? Moses was being sent by God to be a deliverer of the children of Israel, and he wants something from God in verse 13. Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God has said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Do you remember when Jesus was apprehended by the soldiers, that they approached him and asked him about himself? He says, I am. And they went backward and fell to the ground. We have been talking about the glory and how it was veiled in humanity. But Jesus turned loose just a little of the glory of the I am in defense of the apostles who were there, his followers. For he alone was to be taken. He alone could be a dead sacrifice to put away sins. They were to continue and to be a living sacrifice. Paul says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. Well, we're starting with the I am. About Jesus, it said, Thou art. Thou art. That's a title. When we come to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, it says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is. We're starting with the very One who was there before there was a beginning. The great I am. Thou art. He is. But we have had truth brought before us. Perhaps that'll be the subject most taken up in this meeting. And so I would like for you to turn to Luke chapter 1. To get what I think is a help in defining what is truth. Truth, we have human definitions. One is that truth is what is rightly affirmed by something else. That doesn't convey a whole lot to my mind, but I think it's a correct one. But a better one, I think, is that truth is a declaration of what is. God is what is. Notice in the first chapter of Luke, that word is used, For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration. There it is. A declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. This seems to have been another titled gentleman, like A.P. Cecil was, to whom the beloved physician wrote a declaration. Now turn to Acts chapter 1, and we'll see that Luke teaches a little more on that. What is a declaration of what is? Beloved, it's Jesus, and all he did, and all he said. So Luke, teaching us upon his gospel, says in the first verse of Acts, the former treatise, the Gospel of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus. Notice, he's forgotten his title. He's more intimate with Theophilus now. It doesn't call him most excellent. Perhaps enjoyed a nearer relationship. But he just says, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, so that I think it's fair to say that truth is a declaration of what is, and in particular, made known in Jesus, in all that he began to do and to teach, and in all that he is, as a manifestation of God. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. We're going to take up successively some scriptures that present the truth as such to us. There are so many of them. In the third chapter of Proverbs, I'm going to read a few verses at the beginning of this third chapter of Proverbs. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Young person, do you read the Bible? There seems to be a promise here with not forgetting it. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You want those things? Length of days and long life and peace? Of course you do. We all do. And then it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Live in the scriptures. Just before I came up here, a sister that's here came and showed me 3 or 4 or 5 pictures of her father, who is 97 years old. And they wanted to get one last picture of him in his home. And they said the most typical picture you could find of Dad was sitting at the kitchen table reading the Bible. What a commendation for a man that's 97 years old. He has enjoyed length of days and long life. And he is a brother of peace. I tell you, God's promises work out. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Get your affections filled up by a father saying, my son, like Paul that we had this morning, 1 Thessalonians 2, as a father doth his children. And carry on like they did, receiving the word of God as it is, the word of God in truth. Oh, the blessing that comes when this is done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But notice again that expression in the beginning of verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy was the first thing that you and I ever needed from God. And God is rich in mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He's letting us all go on. Much he's letting the world go on. His mercy. He is great in mercy. But here truth is connected with mercy. And oh, we need the truth of God so very, very much. We'll go on now to the 22nd chapter of this same book. I like to divert a little and tell you about an incident that happened in the Dominican Republic. There is up on the hills, the young mountains, on the north coast, there are many assemblies. And there was a Bible conference, 2 or 3 days, at a place called La Manigua Arriba. There's also a meeting at La Manigua Abajo. One is Arriba up, the other was down. Well, to get in there, we went as far as we could in a truck, parked it, walked across the river, stepping on stones to keep from getting too wet, walked up through the forest, the fields, for about 2 or 3 kilometers. Now this book we have got, beloved young people, will tell you how to find and help meet for you. I'm talking about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, I'm going to divert again, has a commentary by a man named Simon Patrick, who lived and wrote, I think, back in 1683. We've enjoyed running Simon Patrick in his commentary on the Proverbs in the Christian Treasury. I recommend that you read it. He uses words that we've kind of forgotten, but they're rather easy to understand. And the book of Proverbs has always fit, from the time it was written, for any people that's on the face of the earth that want to live godly and get the blessing out of it. Well, we were at this meetings at La Manigua Arriba. We'd been there a couple of days. We'd eaten of the good food that they fixed there for us. And after the noon meal, quite a number of those that weren't washing dishes and such things as that were sitting in the meeting room conversing. And there was a young man there named Freddie. Freddie had gotten a good wife. He had gotten a wife from the Lord. This book tells you how to get a good wife, or the lady to get how to get a good husband. Be sure it's in the Lord. Well, Freddie was concerned about some of his companions he'd grown up with living on the seashore of the North Coast. A very pleasant circumstance to be brought up in. And many believers and many gathered to the Lord's name there. And Freddie had gotten a good wife, but he had seen at least one of his companions get a very poor one. Evidently, he didn't get his wife from the Lord. Oh, be sure you get your helpmeet from the Lord. You might follow the teaching of Abraham, who's a type of God, getting a wife for his son Isaac, who's a type of the Lord Jesus, by sending the servant, who's a type of the Holy Spirit, to bring that woman to Isaac. And the Lord, God, by the Spirit, is getting a bride for his son by the Spirit of God down here and bringing that bride home to the glory. But simple, practical, everyday life, young man asked God for that woman. Young lady, be prepared to be that young woman. Well, Freddie says, I wish some of you older brethren would tell us how to get a good wife. Well, there are many older brethren beside myself there. And Freddie got some very, very good advice. But maybe I should read what one scripture was read in 1 Peter to get just a simple help as to choosing an helpmeet. We'll only read 1 Peter 3, verse 4. There's enough here to help you young sisters to know what kind of a person you need to be for God to bring that suitable husband to you, and you young men to find that suitable mate for yourself. We'll read it. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. My son, give me thine heart. You see, it goes right down to what's in the heart. In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Well, that's enough exhortation. You'll need some more. You'll be able to get it. But read the book of Proverbs. It's about the time of making resolutions. It's all right to make a good resolution, but I would like to ask you all, young and old, to have a purpose of heart. We're in December and it's about over. You can't start with December 1, but you can start with January 1. And it's a good policy to read one chapter every day, and you'll complete the book in 1 month. Now, in Proverbs 22, verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear. That's not hard to understand, is it? Hear. Get the truth in to your mind and your heart. The words of the wise. Well, Solomon, I guess, was the wisest man that ever lived. He was the writer. And apply thine heart unto my knowledge. You'll find it in this wonderful book of Proverbs. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. You'll be able to speak forth those pleasant words, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Oh, trust in Him. He's the only one that's worthy of our trust. I have made known unto thee this day, even to thee I have written unto thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Our brother Dick's definition of glory was displayed excellence. We've got a lot of excellence in this book. Excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, is absolutely certain. Purified as silver, seven times in a furnace. The word of God is pure. Certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. If you and I get these things within us, the word of God inside, we'll be able to pass it on. That's one of the reasons God still has a people here on the earth, to declare what is, to speak the truth, the words of truth, to make it known to those that know not. Now, the next chapter has that well-known verse that we want to speak on, and you can always remember this one easily, I should say, because it's Proverbs 23 and verse 23. We'll read that. By the truth. I was impressed with some of the comments this morning about this soldier boy in particular that had slipped through the army without suffering any persecution, because he said they didn't know I was a Christian. Now, that's not fulfilling God's purpose for us to be here. I've hidden that way too. But we ought to be out in the open, enjoying the words of truth, so that we can answer them and be ready to pay for what we've got. And I verily think, the past 3 years, God has been making us by the truth. We had fallen down, us older brethren in particular, in not shepherding and not teaching the things that we ought to have as much as we ought to have. God, as it were, said, I'm going to prove them. I'm going to make them pay for the truth. That's the way you're going to get it. That's the way you're going to get it. You're going to buy it. But the rest of the verse says, sell it not. Well, it goes on and says, also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Oh, we have, all of us, I'm sure, felt that we have seen people sell the truth for a mere pittance of selfish lust and a ruin to a life that had begun very well. What a warning this is. What did Esau do with the firstborn's birthright? He sold it for a mess of pottage. Have we seen those who have professed the knowledge of the truth and might even have had it sell out for just a few selfish things down here in this world? Well, this is a warning. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now we'll go to Ecclesiastes, the next book and the last chapter. Solomon wrote that too. down toward the end of his book, in the 12th chapter, verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He had experimentally learned that the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Have you learned that he that does the will of God abides forever? Poor Solomon, at the end. All is vanity is what he had to say. But he was still the preacher. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. We've read a few of them. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, words of delight. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Beloved, you and I have got words of truth in this other book that Solomon wrote. And there's much there to show us the emptiness of the world around without going out there and proving it experimentally and selling what truth you've got. Oh, let's praise the truth of God that is given to us. We'll go on and read here. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Isn't that an unusual word to find in the Old Testament? Can we take this in a simple way as some guide for those who are elders in the assemblies and seek to guide the younger and the weaker? I suppose so. Which are given from one shepherd. Certainly, that is. There's one shepherd, and he's gathering one flock. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end. Are you going to have to go back to school and study some of them? You won't find any end to them. And you can't get to the end of this one book and get more wisdom out of this one book than all the books that men have written. Those things, those books, to me, this much study is a weariness to the flesh. Let's go to Daniel next. We want to get into the New Testament. But we want to read in Daniel chapter 10, a verse that came to mind in connection with what our brother spoke on from this platform last night. You were here, who were here, remember that he spoke from Acts 8, and Philip sent down to the way that leads to Gaza, which was desert, to encounter a man that was returning disappointed by the religion that was all he found up in Jerusalem. But he had one thing, and he was reading the scripture that said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and so on. What did Philip do? Beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him, Jesus. Jesus is a declaration of what is, which is God. He is the truth, and said so. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, as we've had in our John 17, thy word is truth. We have got truth in this book. We have got it in the person of Jesus opened out for us. So in the 10th chapter of Daniel, down toward the end, there's this angel sent to Daniel I believe it's Gabriel. You can read the whole thing, but we'll begin reading where he talks to Daniel in verse 19. He said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Now, if you're in school and trying to get a PhD degree or a doctor's degree or a master's degree or any other degree that men can confer upon you, that is something. But I would rather, and I hope you'll take it to heart, get this OMGB degree. O man greatly beloved. Nothing is better than that. OMGB, O man greatly beloved, peace be unto thee. Do you want peace? Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now notice verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. The angel was teaching Daniel. What was he teaching? What was written? What's in this book? The scripture of truth. Even an angel was using that. Oh, the scriptures, the holy scriptures. So, there are the words of truth. There is the scripture of truth. And now we will go to John's gospel. And start in the first chapter. And proceed through the book as far as time opportunity presents itself on this wonderful theme to impress upon us the Word of God and that blessed man, Jesus, who is the truth, a declaration of what God is. So as we've been learning, he could say, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. In John 1, the verse we want to read is verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we have a living person who is the Word manifest in the flesh. And it says about him, Moses gave you the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have had mercy and truth. The first thing we needed, we need this too. Grace. Oh, the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men hath appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, justly in this present world, expecting his return. Grace and truth are manifested in this person. Grace and truth came. Here is that person who brought grace and truth. Now we'll go to the 8th chapter. We've had some of this before us. We'll begin over in verse 31. Because it brings in disciples. We've had that blessed instruction. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You know, God gives faith, and then he tests faith, and he honors faith when we walk in it. As you go through this book of John, you find a gradual sifting out of those followers. In the 6th chapter, when they heard that hard saying that they had to eat the flesh of God and drink of the Son of God and drink his blood, they said that's a hard saying. They couldn't take it. From that time on, many of them went backward and walked no more with him. We have to get life from God. That's the 6th chapter. And he is the bread of life, that person. And he's the bread to sustain that life. That's really not a hard thing. It's very, very simple. I eat some bread this noon. And I'll probably have to eat some more tomorrow if we're here. Well, the bread of life is that blessed man appropriating him in his person and in his work, assimilating him and getting life and then sustaining it every day by this precious word. Well, here, ye shall know the truth, verse 32. We've explained that a little bit. That's Jesus. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those Jews had been in hard bondage. Maybe they didn't realize it, but law keeping for them was like their ancestors under Pharaoh and them slaves in Egypt. Well, they couldn't keep that law. They were tested under it. God has stopped that test. He's not looking for anything that you or I can produce. The reverse is true. He comes and brings everything to us as a free gift. The grace of God. Oh, take it and enjoy the liberty of grace. And that liberty includes the liberty to walk according to the new nature, which James explains as a perfect law of liberty. That is, the new nature does do the will of God, the liberty of grace. But it's a person that brings this to us. So we go down a few verses. And we read in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now we get the person. The person who is the truth. But he is the Son. Oh, how wonderful. How full is the scripture. Seems to add a little bit, or maybe a great deal, to the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, do you know who is the truth? Do you know he is the Son of God? He is the Son of Man. Then you have liberty indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. So we'll go to our 17th chapter, where we have spent profitably, I believe, 3 meetings, and just take up again what we have in these verses 17 through 20. John 17 through 20. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I wanted to read that 20th verse because we tried to explain that. That the Lord, that very day he uttered these words, was not thinking only of those who heard him that day, but for me. He was thinking of me. And you too, if you have believed because of this book, these books that were written by the apostles and the prophets, and if we have gotten the truth, we've gotten it out of this book. So he's praying all this for us. And again he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Mark them out as a separate people that belong to me, is what the Lord is saying. Set them apart. The mark of belonging to the Lord Jesus. Thy word is truth. He had said, we only quoted it, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He indeed was and is that, the truth, but he's given us this book. Thy word is truth. You and I can take it up any time we have an opportunity and find the truth. There is such a thing as the truth. Here it is in the Bible, and it's seen in Jesus in all that he began to do and to teach. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We're not taken out. We're still down here. And God has a purpose in it. We don't know how much longer it'll be, but we are here, and there is something for us to do. And it's the same thing that we're going to find out in the last scripture that we're going to read out of John's Gospel. But here it is. As thou hast sent me into the world. Well, he was sent into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. That's those that he prayed for that day. Did he pray for you? He did, if you're a believer. He did for me. He prayed for me. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. This means that like he has set a people upon the earth to represent him, so he has set himself apart up there to represent us before God. You know, he does it perfectly. He does it perfectly as our high priest and our advocate. Whose side do you take? The advocate or the accuser? Whose side do I take? The side of the advocate or the accuser? I'm down here. You're down here. Oh, these things are quite important and serious. For their sakes I sanctify myself, set apart in glory, that they also might be sanctified, set apart through the truth. It is the truth that marks you out as one of God's children by faith in Christ Jesus. And me too. You've got a mark upon you. When you have the truth within and let it out in the world to see it. And perhaps you might be hated. But like those who were put in prison in the early chapters of Acts, they counted it a joy to suffer shame for his name. Now we'll conclude with some verses in the 19th chapter. I should say in the 18th chapter, the very next chapter. This is when Jesus stood before Pilate, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? The Lord witnessed a faithful witness and declared that he was. Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, the king of the Jews. The title was put upon over the cross in the next chapter. Now here's what he declares then. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now think of that. Why did Jesus come? To bear witness unto the truth. You and I would never have known the truth if he hadn't made it known. We have the truth in the person of Jesus. He, by the Spirit, has written this book and given it to us. If he thought it was so important, God thought it was so important to send his Son, that he should bear witness unto the truth, what do you think about your testimony and my testimony in a very dark world where they're not going to learn the truth except through Jesus or the Word of God? Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are you hearing? We began with that, to hear. Bow down thine ear and hear. Let's sing in closing another hymn in the back of the book. Number 43 in the back part of the book. And I'll read the last stanza. It seems to fit the subject. Thy word, thyself reflecting, doth sanctify by truth. Yes, it sets a people apart. It's the truth that does that. Still leading on thy children with gentle heavenly growth. Young people, we're glad to see you grow physically. I think we're more glad to see you grow spiritually. If you don't feed on the Word of God, you're going to be a stunted person. I hope a Christian, but you're not going to grow up spiritually and have the full joy unless you feed upon this blessed book. Thus still the work proceedeth, the work begun by grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For each is meet, it's very fit, and training, Father, to see thy face. Some brother raised this tune to number 43 in the back, please.